It's time for What's Up with the Labour Party's Grant Robertson.
Again. Hi, Grant.
Hey, not sure what happened there, Mikey. They say the SIS doesn't have powers.
And, I was going to say, when we thought...
Yeah, they can shut you and me down, just like that.
Just when the Huawei thing was off sorted. just to recap about for the remembrance ceremony, I just wanted to say that I thought it was a really... Whoever sort of assembled the lineup, put the lineup together, the set list, as it were, I thought it was really, really, really very well considered, and it made for a really memorable day. So well done,
yeah,
everyone.
It really did, and you know, big ups to the officials and the community members who did that exact job that you're talking about there. I mean, that was all pulled together in really less than a week, so quite amazing.
So speaking of pulling things together quickly, our gun laws are changing rapidly, changing probably a little too fast for lobby groups from overseas, I'd say.
Yeah, look, we've certainly seen the inevitable backlash from some gun owners. I'd say not all, by the way. I think there's actually responsible gun owners out there who support what's happening here. But yeah, sure, some of the lobby groups are coming forward. Look, we've been very clear from within days of the March 15th attacks that this was going to be the direction we're heading in. I think there's very strong support publicly to get rid of these military-style semi-automatic weapons. You know, these are weapons that were specifically designed for armies to kill people. There is no reason for board members of the public to have them. I think most people get that, and, you know, we're doing the very thing that we should do here. So, yep, there'll be some whinging, but we're carrying on.
It's interesting because there's a lot of people support it, and there really is. I mean, the argument to not do it seems to be very. I mean, it's pretty weak, isn't it?
Well, I mean, freedom is a concept where you know that exists inside our society about what your freedom to do certain things is, and you know we set this first round of changes to our gun laws pretty pragmatically, to be frank. You know, we've recognised that there is legitimate use for guns, particularly for pest management, you know, humane treatment of animals and so on.
Yeah, and two sides to any argument, so or any discussion, you know.
Yeah, I mean, these are things that reflect New Zealanders' values. We're not saying that kind of work about shooting possums and shooting rabbits will change at all. It's just what we're saying is there's classes of weapons available for purchase in New Zealand that are designed to kill people, and we simply do not see why that should be allowed.
It was interesting what happened yesterday with the vocal opponent of the rapid change in the laws, David Seymour. Whoops, Daisy, out talking to the press and missed this chance to make a...
Yeah, it was all pretty symbolic anyway. I mean, what he wanted to do was...
How does that all work? Just tell us how the mechanics of it.
Basically what happens there is if Parliament wants to do something that's a little bit outside the normal rules, what you can do is you can seek leave. And that means that everyone in Parliament has to agree that you can do something a little bit different. If any one individual member of Parliament says no to the seeking of leave, then you can't do it. And so if that had happened, if David Seymour had shown up on time and he'd been a sole voice that said no, we wouldn't have been able to make, you know, the exceptions to the rules that we needed to pass this quickly. We would then have to have gone into something called urgency, which is, you know, parliamentarians like to avoid because it's just technically a cumbersome thing to do. So, you know, Parliament starts each day at 2 o'clock. It does that every day. The bells ring here incessantly for about 7 minutes beforehand, so you know that you've got to get down to the debating chamber. And then at 2 o'clock, Chris Hipkins, whose job is what's called Leader of the House, his job's kind of organising what happens in Parliament, he often gets up at the start of the day and says, oh, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, this change, that change. And so he did that, and, David Seymour was outside still talking to the media about what he was going to do. There's a German word for this, I believe, he probably has learned a pretty significant lesson out of it.
I'm sort of struggling to see why he's become such a vocal opponent. Is he just trying to sort of represent a fairly sizable chunk of society, or is this a real dyed-in-the-wool act sort of attitude, or has he been paid by someone to do that?
Yeah, look, you'd have to ask him the real answer to those questions. It is a bit, I mean, the thing about David that I would say is that while I sort of fundamentally disagree with his political philosophy, he's a very much of that kind of neoliberal ACT Party school. You know, he's pretty true to the values of ACT.
Right.
This seems to me, this particular exercise seems to go against that. It seems really he's doing a bit of a populist thing. He thinks that there's a group of voters out there who he can reach because, in fairness, both all of the other parties, Labour, National, New Zealand, First, the Greens, are supporting this. So I suspect he's seen a chance and he's run at it. It's a bit sad in a way because, it, you know, he has been a pretty consistent person in terms of his political philosophy.
I was just wondering if there's anything fishy about it. All right, so the gun law is going to change. Then what? What's the next thing on the government's agenda as in regards to what happened in Christchurch? That's an obvious one. What's the next? Do we start looking at the social media platforms? Is that the next sort of angle?
Sure.
Is it border security?
There's a program of response. I mean, in terms of the gun laws, there will be a second round of changes, but that will go through a much longer process because the issues are a bit more technical. For example, establishing some form of register of gun owners, which we don't have, making sure that the licensing arrangements that we have are appropriate, looking at issues like advertising of guns. So that piece of work's already started.
I spoke to somebody about that last night who's in the game of advertising, and I didn't realise how much money they spend advertising guns in this country. It's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a lot of money. And there's been, you know, there's a lot of money been in this industry, so that, you know, there's a whole lot of areas further work on guns, so that's already underway, and another piece of law will be put forward on that. Social media, absolutely, and the Prime Minister's already made some comments about the fact that we need to bring people together at an international level. You know, New Zealand on its own is not going to be able to make the changes we want to see from social media. Facebook's made some comments in recent times about the changes they're going to make. I think everybody's fairly sceptical about that, and so we've got to have a global response. Inside New Zealand, we've got to take a look at the nature of our laws around what we do in terms of online content.
With all that sort of stuff, it's. I mean, you really are in sort of brand new territory, aren't you? As far as, you know, we're still trying to figure out how the privacy thing works. We're still trying to figure out the data, you know, who's allowed whose data when and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, I guess we have to be very attentive to this, don't we?
Yeah, it remains that balance, doesn't it? We want to protect people's privacy, but I think what we've learned over the years is that, you know, alongside that, there are responsibilities that go with the rights, and so that's really what this conversation is about, both in terms of the providers of content, the platforms that content's on, and the people who are putting the content up. And so all of that's got to be in play. But you also mentioned security issues, and absolutely. I mean, bear in mind, New Zealand's, you know, security alert is still at high at the moment. And so that means that agencies at the border, particularly the police and others, are still keeping a watchful eye. We know from internationally that it's a period of about a month to 6 weeks after one of these attacks where there's, you know, potential further security issues. The police have got no specific ones that they're looking at, but over that period of time, you've got to continue to be watchful. And then, yes, we've got some decisions to make about where we head with the powers of our security agencies, the resources that they have, same with the border. That's the purpose of that Royal Commission, is to take a look and say, well, what do we know, and when are we going, you know, when, what should we have known, and so on. So, look, this will be an issue in the response to these attacks on the 15th of March, will be an issue that the government will have front and centre for a very long time to come.
Sure. Who would have thought a couple of months ago when everyone said, oh, our relationship with China's fallen to pieces, they're going to never talk to us again, but hang on, they were invited over there, the Prime Minister gets invited over there, flies over there, has a full day of events, and then and flies back. Was it a successful visit to open our embassy and to meet the big wigs?
Yeah, look, it was. This is one of the most influential countries in the world, and you see the two most powerful people in that country in one day. You're doing pretty well, to be honest. I spoke to the
sort of goes against a lot of the attitude that was being bandied around not that long ago.
Yeah, look, and it's, you know, it's not just the visit either. We had a really successful launch of what's called the Year of Tourism down here, and Chinese tourism is just a massive part of our tourism industry at the moment. You know, there was a commitment made by both the Premier of China and also the Prime Minister around upgrading our free trade agreement. They're keen on working with us more in a number of other economic areas. So the relationship's in a good place. Like all friends, we're going to have issues from time to time that we differ on. And I think, you know, what both sides were saying at the end of the meetings were, let's work together on those issues. It doesn't mean we agree 100% of the time. We don't agree 100% of the time with Australia or the US or the UK, but we have good, strong relationships, and that's what we should strive for with China too.
Status update on the Huawei thing?
No change particularly. I understand from the media reports I saw coming out that the Prime Minister obviously would have, that topic would have come up. We have a legal process which is blind to where a particular provider might come from for 5G. We all know that Spark was looking to partner with Huawei. They got some interim feedback from the GCSB. The process is that they now have to respond to that feedback, but that is actually a legal process that every potential provider of 5G has to go through. So I'm sure the Prime Minister would have said, look, you know, it's the law. We're letting the process roll through, and the decisions will be made at the end of that. So no further update at this stage, Mikey.
So I noticed that the Prime Minister in that very short time mentioned she did bring up human rights too, which a few people thought she might not, but she did. Is this going to be standard now for our government when we're going overseas, now that we focus more on the people and your new type of budget that you announced? Is this going to be a thing where we internationally we make sure that we attend to these sort of things? Because it's kind of cool.
I think it's always important in any dialogue with a country to raise all of the issues that are out there.
You could have pulled off an excuse for, oh, we're only there for 24 hours and we had to do this.
No, I don't think it's the style of our Prime Minister. I mean, she would have, I'm sure, gone through all of the good bits of the relationship. But as I say, there are going to be issues where we differ, where we've got concerns, and they get raised. And that's diplomacy. That's the art of working between countries. But it's certainly not the Prime Minister's style to shy away from those sorts of things.
Hey, Grant, thanks very much for talking to us this morning.
Cheers, Mikey.
Really appreciate it. Take Cheers. Care. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
That was What's Up with the Labor Party's Grant Robertson. Thanks, Grant.